Hey folks, hey Sharath, how's it going?
It's going well, and it's been raining a lot in Delhi. Have you ever seen this kind of rain in Delhi?
Apparently, it's kind of an outlier event in September.
Yeah.
But how's your car? I heard it's full of water again.
Yeah.
So, hey Jatinder, how's it going?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm fine, thank you. I hope you're also enjoying Delhi rains.
Yeah, a bit of a relief from the perspective of weather as well. And we have done a very British start to this podcast, discussed a bit of weather.
Yeah.
But no, Jatinder, absolute pleasure to have you here. And, you know, I would love to start in terms of, you know, just learning about STT, GDC, the underlying model. How do you see growth in the data center segment? There's a lot of airtime that this space attracts, everyone from, you know, co-loc companies to pure play real estate companies to technology plays, you know, cross-border, domestic. There's a fair amount of narrative on, you know, rising usage of data. There's a fair amount of narrative around privacy. There's a fair amount of narrative around, you know, how mobile phone penetration in the country within urban and rural means that the segment that you're in has a hyperscale trajectory ahead of it. I'm sure a bit of it is true, but I'm also sure that there will be some amount of nuance between the lines. So yeah, why don't we kind of, you know, start from your personal journey at STT GDC and the company and its model.
So I have spent almost close to 3 years now in STT GDC India. Now, before that, like before even I start about STT GDC India, I think this is a very exciting time for data center industry, specifically in India.
Mm-hmm.
The co-location market, in fact, the data center co-location market, is projected to grow at almost 23% CAGR over the next few years. And I think in the next couple of years, we'll be closer to a gigawatt of IT power capacity,
mm-hmm.
Which is almost 2 to 3 times of what the current capacity is. So that is the kind of growth which we are talking about in India. And so personally, it has been very exciting in the last couple of years. We have almost doubled our business in the last couple of years since the time of joining.
Mm-hmm.
If you specifically talk about STT GDC India, we are, of course, the leading players here. We have 21 data centers which are spread across 9 cities with almost 200 megawatt of IT power. The people who are specifically dealing in data center industry, they relate more to megawatts and IT power. So 200 megawatt is a significantly large chunk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is almost roughly 1/3 of total capacity, installed capacity in the India data center market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's a very significant chunk of now, we are specifically a pure play co-location player. We serve both hyperscalers and enterprise segment.
Mm-hmm.
We have been serving more than 600 customers, and these include some of the top names in India and world across. And our commitment is to continue to invest in India and maintain our long term.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership position. Let me know if you want to hear about how we are growing, what we are doing in terms of growth, and I can share more light on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jatinder, just a bit of an explainer here for the benefit of our listeners. Like you mentioned a few things, right? You mentioned co-location, you mentioned pure play, like we keep on hearing terms like managed services. You know, how would it be, it would be very, very helpful if you could, you know, give a bit of an overview in the broader value chain here, you know, for everyone's benefit.
Sure. So, first of all, you can divide the data center per se, or the data center models, or data center types per se, into 3 types. Okay. You have the first model is the large co-location data center model, which includes data center campuses. And these are typically located in India. These are typically located in tier 1 cities like Mumbai, Pune, Delhi, Bangalore. A typical DC is in 20, 25 megawatt. A campus hosts multiple of DCs and can go up to 100 megawatt. The key customers here are hyperscalers, they consume almost 70% of their capacity. And these are, I can say that these are the top of the value chain kind of data centers. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that lots of players are investing in these large data center campuses in India,
right.
Including us, of course. The second model is the regional colocation data centers. And these are typically your tier 2 cities, mm-hmm. like Ahmedabad, Kochi. These are smaller DCs, 4 to 5 megawatt kind of DCs. And they typically serve the enterprise segment. Mm-hmm. And we started seeing some initial interest from hyperscalers here. Of course, because these are enterprise segment, the number of players are lesser, or there are more regional players in these kinds of data center segment. But what is common between the first and second model, which is the large colocation model and the regional colocation model, is that both of them are used to provide services like pure colocation, which is renting out space and power to provide managed hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you add a top of services on top of the pure colocation, it becomes managed hosting, where the service provider manages the hosting infrastructure for its customer. These are also used to provide the cloud services, which includes infrastructure as a service, where you rent out virtual machines, platform as a service, where you rent out things like databases, and software as a service, where you rent out things like email productivity software, and many other cloud-based services. So the services remain common between these large and regional colocation data centers. And both these models provide similar benefits to end customers, like being the closest to customer, economy of scale, operational excellence, higher uptime, faster time to market. So these two models are very popular, and they have been there for some time. There's a third model which is catching up everyone's interest now, which is the edge DCs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now these DCs are typically located in your tier 2, tier 3 cities. They're smaller in nature, sometimes 1/20th of what a large data center will look like. The drivers here are also slightly different. The drivers here are going to be IoT, telco POPs. So the telco providers want to have their POPs in larger number of locations. The edge of cloud players. This is an upcoming model, actually. It is gaining traction, but it is not yet fully prevalent in India. Mm-hmm. But I think in the near future, we will see lots of smaller POPs, smaller SDCs, which are going to get spread across the country. So it's a mix of everything. You have large colo, you have regional colo, used to provide colocation service, managed hosting, and cloud services. And then you have these mm-hmm. edge DCs, which will typically serve your endpoints, including IoT, telco POPs, cloud POPs, but these smaller DCs will be spread more across in more number of cities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the playground is looking like right now.
And, you know, like you said, you guys have almost a third of the capacity. When you look it up, like, let's say 600 megawatt, you know, high level total capacity, it seems like Mumbai, you know, accounts for like almost 40% of it. Like, are there geographic factors as we think about like cities and towns? Like, why is it that Mumbai is asymmetrically higher when it comes to data center capacity?
Yeah, it is. So there are a couple of reasons. One, it's a significant cable landing station. So that is one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two key cable landing stations. One is Mumbai and second is Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
Mumbai has some additional advantages, or has been having some additional advantages. One, it is a hub for BFSI.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives it an additional edge.
Mm-hmm.
It has been always, traditionally, it has been the power conditions in Mumbai
mm-hmm.
Has been very reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Power plays a huge part in data center industry. And so, if there is anything which is the most important part, that is the power.
Mm-hmm.
And Mumbai is known for being more reliable in terms of power infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not talking about the power capacity. At least also power reliability, it is more reliable.
Yeah.
And then while the core Mumbai is more or less full in terms of capacity, but more and more players have now started coming up in the outskirts of Mumbai, which is the Navi Mumbai area. Mm-hmm. So it has also given people space for or provided space for expanding and building out large campuses. So multiple reasons, not a single reason, because it had the first mover's advantage. Mm-hmm. And it is capitalizing on that. But we also seen other cities catching up very fast. For us, the two largest campuses which we have are in Pune and Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
We just announced a very large campus, 50 megawatt campus in Navi Mumbai. We have data centers in Mumbai. We have three data centers in Mumbai. But our Pune and Chennai capacities are larger than Mumbai capacities.
Mm-hmm. You know, just because, you know, I think everyone is sort of fairly convinced that there is a steep growth curve associated with this industry, right? Expected to double by 2023. And you were seeing that in participation from institutional private equity players or business operators who are sort of coming into Indian markets, either through JV or independently. So, you know, there are sort of two narratives that have that we often read. One is like, you know, it's such a high cash flow generating business. Like you have high EBITDA margins, 40-45%. Like some of the big guys have 40-45% margins and CapEx is, you know, less than 10% in terms of as a percentage of sales. So it throws a lot of cash. But then there is other narrative that we often see that, you know, as more and more player comes in, come in, there will be massive margin pressure on the sort of rates that these businesses can charge. How do you see these two evolve? Like, do you expect some kind of margin pressure in the business in the next few years? Or you think we are so far away from a supply demand, there's such a big supply demand mismatch that you shouldn't see that? How do you view the business evolving?
So, of course, there will be margin pressure. Mm-hmm. Because there are more and more players entering into this market.
Mm-hmm.
There are more players who will want to acquire customers at any cost. What we believe is that for every megawatt of capacity sold, there will be 2 megawatt which will be available in the market. So there is going to be competition. And mm-hmm. when there is a competition, obviously there is going to be pressure on margins as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to understand that this is a long-term business. This is not a short-term business.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who is entering into this market has to understand that the capital requirements during the build-out or the initial phase of data center building is huge. It's huge. It's almost $5 to $6 million per megawatt. So if you're talking about a 20 megawatt kind of a capacity, you're talking about more than $100 million kind of
thing. Yeah.
That doesn't even include the cost of the land. So the capital requirement is huge. And then the second thing is that the returns start coming after 7 years only.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long-term commitment. And anyone who is there for just to invest, make money and exit, I think it is not, this is not a sustainable business for them.
Mm-hmm.
So very multiple factors to...
Sure.
To take into account when we talk about any new player entering into this this market. There's one more thing which I want to actually add on to that. Ultimately, this is an operations business. You build DCs, you can build the best of the DCs, but mm-hmm. unless one has the skills to operate these DCs, so they're of actually no use to customers.
Mm-hmm.
And India is very unique and complex.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of these operational skill sets, operating 24/7 with almost near 100% uptime in India
mm-hmm.
has its own set of challenges. And while global experience is always welcome, but you need to apply the local flavor to that global experience. So investing is one thing, but any organization who is investing will have to build that local operational DNA.
Sure.
So that the customers actually start to trust them. Otherwise, it's going to be a difficult journey for any new player.
You have kind of touched upon a very interesting point because if you look at an outside-in perspective, I mean, there are two angles within the data center business. I mean, there is obviously that operational slash technical component, and then there is that so-called quote-unquote real estate component. And, you know, we have all seen over the last few years some major developers, they have been trying to get their feet in the door. in this particular segment. A few of them maybe opportunistically, a few of them they have unutilized structures which they want to redeploy, and for that they look at data center as a interesting growth area. And how have you seen the traction to date when it comes to pure play real estate operators entering into the data center business? Do you think that they know what they're getting into, or from a strategy perspective, things have to be chalked out in a much more finer way? Like you yourself that said that the investment cycle itself is close to 6 to 7 years, and there's a big operational element to running it. So what's your take on that?
See, it's not an India-specific phenomena. Globally, the real estate infrastructure funds, if you can call them, they have been investing in DC capacity, in building out DC capacity. Globally, they have almost 20% share, actually, of the DC capacity. And India, they have just started. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that they would want to capitalize on the growth here and increase their computer market share.
Terms of developers themselves.
Yeah. So there are two, you can actually divide them in two parts. One, the global real estate players, real estate infrastructure funds, who have done this in other markets and are trying to replicate it in India. I think they need to understand a couple of things. What they need to understand is that the operational DNA in India is going to be is very complex and completely different. So unless they build that operational DNA in India, it is going to be very difficult for them. But for other players for whom the DC business itself is a new business, a traditional real estate business, who are just entering and wanting to capitalize on that business, they need to understand two points very clearly. First is, of course, that operational point. So they need to build that operational DNA. But they also need to understand that the investment cycle is longer. It is a 7 years kind of an investment cycle before they start making any money. Mm-hmm. But today, with pandemic, the traditional real estate funds are not performing well. We all know that. Mm-hmm. So every real estate player is eager to capitalize on digital real estate facilities. But any player who is entering here, they need to understand that they need to be here for a decade. They need to build their operational capacity. They need to invest. They need to invest in multiple DCs. And finally, they have to be very patient in expecting returns out of their investment. So it's not, as I said, invest, make quick money and exit kind of a business. Mm-hmm. If people are clear on that, I'm sure there will always be successes and failures.
But when we ourselves kind of interact with a fair number of real estate developers and operators, a kind of a common theme that kind of comes from a lot of them who are dabbling in this is that, it's like, you build a bridge and they'll come, in terms of customers. But I don't think it's as straightforward as that. I mean, it's a fairly now competitive, commoditized space.
It's not as easy that you build and everyone will come. Maybe 2 years back, that statement would have been true. Today, that statement is not true.
Right.
Today, most of the hyperscalers have already gone through one or two rounds of their initial build-outs and expansion. Okay. So they have their priorities defined. They know that which areas they want to expand into. Many of them are now in the process of building additional availability zones rather than also while continuing to expand their current availability zone, they are now building their additional availability zone. So it all depends. It all depends on how any provider's capacity is fitting into the expansion plan of customer. Of course, someday down the line, the capacity is going to get sold. All of us know there is enough demand, the capacity is going to get sold. But you can't expect that you launch a capacity and customers are lining up in queue to buy that capacity. That phase is almost over. So it is going to be a competition. It is going to be a tough fight. And the providers will have to really, really compete to get their share from customers. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of recently we've also seen a lot of activity in the data localization policy level intervention of sort of storing data internally. That's a net positive for the industry, right? I mean, over time or do you see that being a key component of the growth, or do you think organically, I mean, if that policy sort of reverses or relaxes, do you still see like a lot of growth in the Indian market?
The good news about the data center industry in India is that it is not built on a single growth factor. So that is the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. The regulatory related drivers are just one of the drivers. And I will suggest any new provider or even existing provider to not build their business plan purely on the basis of this regulatory driver. It is too risky. Mm-hmm. There are other very strong drivers which are helping this industry to grow almost at 23% CAGR. Mm-hmm. See, today, if you see, only 40-45% of the IT infrastructure is outsourced across cloud and colo. So you still have almost 50% of the infrastructure which is not yet outsourced in India. So there is a room to expand. There is a room to go to more customers, to get more customers to outsource their IT infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now, why would they outsource? Apart from that regulatory drivers, the reasons are pretty clear. The first set of reasons are related to cloud and co-location. Customers are creating their outsourcing plans, and they are utilizing flexible and hybrid deployment models which include both public cloud and co-location services. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, in India, even the public cloud players are leveraging co-location players. So whether the customers go to cloud or whether they go to co-location, ultimately the co-location industry is continuing to grow. So that is a very, very strong reason. Almost 60-70% of the growth is going to come from this cloud and co-location growth. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the regulatory I've already talked about, not only the data privacy, but there are RBI regulations which are pushing all the organizations, the financial organizations, to host their data within India. Mm-hmm. But there are some new drivers also which have come up. One, of course, all of us know that COVID-19 has accelerated the entire digital transformation. It has forced every organization to build their DC, DR, and BCP plan, and a plan which actually works. Traditionally, these plans always used to be tick in the box, used to be tested once in a year,
right,
and you never knew whether they will work in the real world scenario or not. But now that is not the choice. So every organization has to ensure that if such an unfortunate situation comes again, then or even today, today all of us are working in BCP mode. We are doing all this sitting in our homes. So the reality is that every organization has to build a BCP, DC, DR plan, which is workable. And that has pushed this entire digital transformation or accelerated this digital transformation by at least 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that is driving some of the growth in co-location. The last is the technology-related driver. So as the IoT, AI, ML, as they become more and more popular, as the deployment increases, it is also going to drive more data center growth. Because data center provide them both the solution. They provide them computational capacity through their core networks, and also provides them endpoint capacities through their edge nodes. So it is serving both of their requirements. So multiple reasons, multiple drivers, and all these needs to be taken into account when the business plan is getting created. Regulatory is not the only growth driver, which is good news.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of these American big companies, right, Equinix and these guys, I mean, there's a clear narrative for them that it's a hyper growth opportunity everywhere, not just India. And access to cheap capital in the last 10, 15 years, I mean, these guys have been able to raise debt at such a low amount. So, I mean, for them, the mathematical model just makes so much sense when cost of funding is so low and you're seeing like sharp 20% plus EBITDA growth, right? What valuations? I mean, again, this is all very specific finance kind of a thing. But what kind of valuations? Like some of these American companies trade at a steeper valuation. In India, we don't. I mean, I'm not aware of a pure play data center publicly listed operator which is doing just data centers, like, and you know, and just tying to that also, we sort of look at some of these Western, more you know, advanced markets have REITs, real estate investment trusts, which are sort of geared towards data centers as well. We are still we are a fair bit away from that level of sophistication for this this play, right? And how do you see that sort of evolve?
I'm sure someday all of us will want to get evaluated and get listed. But that is not our current plan right now.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have any firm plans. Mm-hmm. And I've also not seen any other large providers going through that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you one thing. I think it's a process, it's a cycle. We have a large colocation business in China.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that business is, I think, almost 3x the business which we do in India. All to the large demand in China as well. They own almost 95% of the market share in China.
Mm-hmm.
They got registered a couple of years back, and I'm sure that the same thing will happen in India as well. So not today. Today, I think it might be too early to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think once we reach that gigawatt kind of a market capacity, I think that is the time when we will see more public listing. That is my gut feeling.
Sure.
We are at 400, 500 megawatt kind of.
Sure.
Half a gigawatt kind of capacity.
Yeah. And it's expected to double, right, in 3-4 sure. years. Yeah. This might just be a simple
question.
Yeah, no, this might be a very simplistic question, but like when you guys are like STT, like how do you evaluate what are the metrics on which you evaluate a typical project? Like you guys, let's say, is it like real estate? Is it a mix of like, how do you know whether a project is worth deploying, putting more capital into? What are the factors that go in? I mean, we are not data center experts. It seems like there's only one metric which adds a lot of value, which is how much capacity it can do. If it's 100 megawatt, it's big. If it's 10 megawatt, it's small. Is it tier one, tier two? But that's the extent of which we understand. But I'm sure like when you guys decide to put like write big checks or get into a JV or even acquire data center assets, what are the key variables? Because it seems fairly commoditized from where we stand. Like there's hardly any differentiation, right? So is it just a matter of who has access to better capital, higher capital, or is there a lot of strategic nuance before making that investment decision?
See, obviously, whatever we do is basis the business plan which we create.
Mm-hmm.
And that business plan has got all the parameters which goes as an input.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key parameters which goes as an input is the sales velocity.
Okay.
What is it which we are going to sell? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it which we are going to sell? If we are talking about building, let's say, 100 megawatt,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm not able to sell that in 4 to 5 years, then that business plan is of no use. That business plan is not going to work. So anything which you build, mm-hmm. has to get sold within that 4 to 5 years. Even earlier, what I'm saying is that on an outer limit, that has to get sold. The larger capacity has to get sold within 4 to 5 years. So the sales velocity is one which is one of the input which goes into this plan. Then, obviously, the sales velocity is basis the customer demand, the market projections in the city, the feelers from the customers, the indications from the customers, what our competitors are doing in that area. So all these inputs are taken care while creating that sales velocity. Then comes that at what price can that capacity be sold?
Yeah.
In that city. Once you have these two parameters, then comes the technical due diligence and the legal due diligence. So when you talk about technical due diligence, you talk about whether the site has enough power sources. Does it have redundant power sources? Does it have redundant network lines? Does it have capabilities to hold redundant network lines? Is there any sort of risk? What is the kind of geography which the site Is it a low-lying area, high-lying area? Is there any flood risk? Plus, are there any other risks related to that? So that there's a huge amount of technical due diligence which happens on that side. And then there's a legal due diligence which happens on the side, because you don't want to build a data center and then 2 years down the line you want to find out that there is a legal issue and it needs to be demolished because of XYZ. So there's a significant due diligence which happens. So almost 5 to 6 months spent in creating business case, in doing technical due diligence, and in doing legal due diligence. So from when you start till actually when you actually break the ground, it takes 5 to 6 months to do all these analysis. And then only a business case is approved, and then only you can say that, okay, there is an investment which is worth doing. So building the data center takes 18 months, but 6 months is spent in this. Overall, you will see that that is why data centers typically take 24 months kind of a time period. Yeah. So it's not as simple. There are multiple factors which go into this.
Well, no, thanks a lot, Jatinder. This was very insightful. I just have one last question. There is there was a narrative in the 90s and early 2000s that, which was to a large extent true, that India is kind of a cost arbitrage destination in terms of, you know, BPO, KPO services. We all kind of know about the success stories of Infosys, Wipro, etc. And now that narrative has kind of evolved away from pure play BPO, KPO to more higher value add digital work. Be it through enterprise SaaS platforms, you know, we hear companies, you know, be it Zoho, be it Freshworks, and with the pandemic coming in, hitting not just India but the US, there is a fair amount of quote unquote cross border flow of work which is going to all these service providers, and I'm sure a lot of these service providers through one state or other are customers to guys like you. Do you actually see that narrative play out in the last 12 to 18 months? And do you see, customers you probably wouldn't have thought would have such capacity requirements suddenly kind of, you know, getting in that bucket? Just want to get your macro view.
Yeah. So, there are two kinds of requirements which we are seeing in India. Most of these requirements are almost, I would say, 70 to 80. Percent of the requirements which are being hosted out of the data centers are India specific requirements.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we are not still serving the world need from India, if I can call that. Most of the KPO, KPOs, BPOs, they serve world need. Right? They serve customers who are actually sitting in US. So for example, if a KPO serves a credit card customer, he might be serving a US citizen. In data center industry, most of the customers whom we are serving are actually Indian customers.
Right.
Indian citizens, not Indian customers. I will say that Indian citizens.
Right.
So the demand is arising from people who are located in India, most of that demand. So that cost factor, because of a data center being hosted in US versus in India, is not that prominent yet.
Right.
Okay. There are secondary type of customers which typically do their back office works in India.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Though these could be research and development, this could be probably software development company. Traditionally, they were hosting their data centers within their own premises.
Right.
Traditionally. Okay. Now, this is the time when these guys are also exploring to co-locate their infrastructure with the data center player. So we are seeing an increased demand from this set of customers, which were not our traditional customers. So these back office customers, these KPOs, these were not our traditional customers.
Right.
They typically had their own data centers because they were IT-enabled services. They wanted to build their own data centers. And if you see, they were called captive data centers.
Right.
Right. So we have started seeing that many of these captive data centers are also now open and are more leveraging the co-location player. So some of that demand, which we did not expect initially, has started coming in from there. But still, most of the demand is from the user base, the Indian citizens, if I can call
it. Right.
And because the data requirements for our own set of, say, citizen base is huge. Whether they are employees or whether they are citizens, the data requirements are huge. And the current demand is mostly based on that.
Yeah.
No, this was super fascinating. I learned a lot.
Yeah, and it's a sector that, you know, these days, every second or third day you open any business newspaper, there is a data center transaction or some noise. Or so it was fascinating to hear from you. And I think much like yourself, I mean, we also are fairly bullish in this space. And that's why we also think what is the way to sort of get exposure ourselves. That is why I was asking about publicly listed companies on how retail investors can get a little piece of the upside from the growth that data center businesses are expected to see. I mean, that's interesting anyway. Thank you so much for your time. It was an insightful conversation and really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I think it has been a wonderful interaction with you. We are also very bullish on this industry, mm-hmm. and we are the heroes, and we want to maintain that leadership position by doubling our capacity every 2 to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and all hands on the table. Let's continue to drive this business.
Well, we wish you all the best, and we wish great success to yourself and to the organization. And so, with that, this is Nikhil Arora.
This is Sharad Tupran.
Signing off.